Welcome to Communication Studio, the podcast that helps you build confidence, captivate your audience, and master every presentation, from meetings to the stage. This is Communication Studio.
Want to know the secret weapon of great communicators? It's not about what they say, it's about the questions they ask. Today on Communication Studio, we'll explore how asking the right questions can unlock trust, steer conversations, and spark insight. Whether you're in a meeting, on a date, or presenting on stage, the quality of your questions determines the quality of your conversations. Let's take a moment to zoom out as we begin this episode. Before we dive into the types of questions or how you might use them, let's ask about why they matter so much in the first place. Asking questions builds trust. Why? Because it shows you're not just here to broadcast your own ideas, you're here to listen. You're saying, I'm interested in you, not just in being interesting myself. Think about the last time someone asked you a thoughtful question. One that made you feel seen, heard, maybe even valued. It's a small gesture, but it makes a big impact and it can really motivate you as well and motivate you to think more and contribute more. And that's all really positive. And research backs this up. A Harvard Business Review study found that people who ask more questions, especially follow-up questions, are perceived as more likable, and build better rapport. Simple questions, big difference. Second, questions invite people in. They shift the tone from monologue to dialogue. You're not delivering information at someone, you're building something with them. And that's powerful because when we feel included in a conversation, they're more engaged, more honest, and more open. And this is really important if you're a people manager. You want your team to open up to you, be more honest, be more engaged. You need to adopt by making them feel included in the conversation. And that starts by listening, asking them questions, and inviting them in. Don't lecture your team. It's why great coaches, great leaders, and even great podcast hosts ask great questions. It's not about having all the answers. In fact, it's the opposite. It's about creating a space for someone else to share their answer. And it's really, really important. And then there's this: questions unlock understanding. So when you ask someone about their experience or their perspective or their why, you get a window into their world. You don't just understand what they think, you start to understand why they think it. And that's where real empathy lives. As Voltaire famously put it, judge a man by his questions rather than his answers. And he was right, because answers tell you what someone knows. But questions, they show you what someone values, where they're curious, and how they connect. There's even evidence this works in high-stakes environments as well. One study showed that job candidates who asked follow-up questions were 20% more likely to be rated highly by interviewers. And that tells us something. People don't just want polished answers. They want thoughtful questions. They want thoughtful answers and even healthy debate. So if you remember one thing from this section, let it be this. Great communication doesn't start with a statement. It starts with a question. Coming up next, we'll dive into the different types of questions and when to use them to spark deeper, more engaging conversations.
Level up your presentation game with Communication Studio.
All right, we've talked about why questions matter. Now let's explore the how. Because not all questions are created equal. Some open the door wide, some help you navigate uncertainty, and some, they can steer a conversation if you use them thoughtfully. Let's walk through five powerful types of questions you can use in all kinds of situations, from meetings to one-on-ones, from pitches to personal chats. Let's start with a favorite of mine, open-ended questions. These are the heavy lifters in great communication. They invite storytelling. They spark insight. They say, tell me more. They get the individual's perspective rather than a biased answer. So instead of asking, did you like the event? You could try, what was the most memorable part of the event for you? Or something like, how did that decision impact the team? You'll notice the shift. People lean in, they reflect, they give their answer and their perspective. It moves the conversation from surface level or the answer they think you want to a more substantial answer with their view and their opinion, which gives you the ability to understand more and get more from the conversation. These open-ended questions are perfect for coaching sessions, sales discoveries, interviews, and honestly, just about any conversation you have, including things like, did you have a good day? It tends to be a yes or no with an embellishment, but what about how was your day today? It's opening up a more creative answer. Second, clarifying questions. These help you stay curious instead of jumping to conclusions. They show humility. They show you're paying attention. Let's say someone says, it's just been overwhelming lately. A clarifying question could be, when you say overwhelming, what's been weighing on you the most? Or what does that look like in a typical day? This is especially important in fast-paced meetings or emotionally charged moments because it slows things down. Just enough for you to get their perspective and really listen. And especially emotionally charged moments, people can be very fast with their response. And if you ask them a clarifying question, it can really make them think and consider and just calm down a bit. And that can be good whether they're racing ahead and they're too excited, or maybe they're disappointed or angry about something. It can just help reset, calm things down, and get a true perspective rather than that raw emotion. Now, this one's a bit more strategic. Leading questions. These subtly point the conversation in a direction, often towards a solution or a point of view. For example, wouldn't it make sense to try a phased rollout first? Or, don't you think it's worth testing before we commit? They can be useful in persuasion, negotiation, or coaching, but they come with a warning label. If they're overused, which they sometimes are in sales situations, they can feel manipulative or pushy. So use them sparingly and with integrity. The integrity part is so important. Think gentle nudge, not power play. Power plays just rarely work. Occasionally, maybe, but most of the time they're really transparent. Let's get to the imaginative end of the scale now. Hypothetical questions. Now I like these. These are one of my favorites. These are fantastic when you want people to think outside of the box. Now I have quite a creative role, so I quite like these types of questions. They're the sort of what if questions or imagine a scenario where type of question. For example, what if we didn't have budget constraints? How would we approach this then? Great question. When people are just worrying about money, and you want to get them focusing on the solution, which can often mean you do actually manage to expand the deal, you want to take budget off the table. So ask them to imagine what that would be like. They might laugh and go, oh yeah, I wish it was, but you'll still get that answer. It gives you something to work with outside of financial constraints. You might be able to come up with a creative solution that gives them what they want, gets you what you want, and sits within their budget or close to it. Or what if it's, let's say the product launches tomorrow. What's the biggest risk? So that's not a financial reason, but that's a kind of rushed reason. What if we put it out there tomorrow? Because you're going to have people in that situation going, oh, it needs 2 months of this. I don't think we're going to get it done before then. And you're going to get that all the time in any project, no matter what the timeline is. No, someone's going to be unhappy with it. So then you can put that to them. Well, okay, what if we did rush it out tomorrow? What's the biggest risk? These work really well in those kind of creative ideation type of session. Leadership planning, job interviews, they tap into creative thinking, they test scenarios, and they reveal priorities people might not want to say out loud. And finally, here's a type that often goes unnoticed. Reflective questions. Now, you might do this subconsciously anyway, but these are where you mirror back what someone said, but you invite them to go deeper. For example, let's say a teammate says, "I just don't feel very confident presenting." A reflective question might be, "You mentioned confidence. What do you think is at the core of that hesitation? Or what is it about presenting that gives you a lack of confidence?" Or if a client says, "We're struggling with engagement," you could say, "When you say engagement, are you talking about your team, your customers, or both?" It's a subtle shift, but it helps people clarify their own thinking. And most importantly, it shows you're truly listening because you're repeating back what they've said. You're not just pushing your own agenda. So that's five different types of questions that you can use in your toolbox. So how do you know which type to use and when? Here's my quick cheat sheet. Use open-ended questions to start strong and explore. Particularly useful at the very beginning if you're doing a discovery in a sales environment, for example, or at the beginning of a project when you want to understand what they're looking to get out of it. Use clarifying questions when things get a bit murky. You're not sure where things are heading, people are getting confused. Those are the times to use clarifying questions. Use leading questions to gently guide. Just be really cautious not to do this too often. Use hypothetical questions to spark creativity and test ideas. And use reflective questions to go deeper, but without pushing them. You're repeating back what you've heard and you're looking to go deeper, but you're letting it let them do it on their terms. And that's the five different types of questions you can use and how to use them.
From meetings to the stage, this is Communication Studio.
Great communicators don't just ask more questions, they ask better ones. They choose the right question for the right moment. They listen. They adapt. And they understand this truth. A question isn't a break in your message, it is the message. It's an invitation, it's engagement. So next up, we'll explore the flip side. What happens when questions go wrong? Yep, we're talking about the common pitfalls and how you can avoid them. So we've explored why questions matter and what type of questions are in your toolkit. Now let's look at where great questioning really shines in the wild. Whether you're leading a team, selling a solution, or just trying to connect with someone over coffee, questions are your secret superpower. So let's break that down. Let's start with sales and negotiation, because let's face it, we've all had to pitch something, even if it's to your other half. The most successful sellers don't just pitch features, they ask questions and uncover needs, pain points, and hidden motivations. Instead of saying, this platform can automate your workflows, are you interested? Ask, what's the most time-consuming part of your current process? Get that information, because you can use that to play it back to them and they won't be able to argue because they've told you it. It's so powerful. Or how does that delay impact your team's performance? When you're trying to push for something to be done faster, or someone's trying to push you to have that faster, you can say, well, what's the impact? What's happening to your team? You can get that answer. Because when they say, oh, well, there's not really much impact, we just want it sooner, you suddenly uncover how important something really is. Those kinds of questions do two things. They show you're listening, and they help the other person clarify their own priorities. And here's a powerful stat from Gong. Top performing sales reps ask 54% more questions per call than their peers. They don't talk more, they ask more. The top performing sales reps, 54% more questions per call. So if you're a sales rep, make sure you're asking lots of questions and use the five types of questions I outlined to really ask the right question at the right time. Now let's move into internal conversations, team meetings, one-to-ones, or brainstorming sessions. We've all been in those meetings where it's just update after update. But questions can turn a static meeting into a collaborative conversation. Try asking, what's one blocker that's been slowing us down this week? Or what's something we should be celebrating that hasn't been mentioned? Open questions like that invite contribution and give your team permission to speak up. It's not just about extracting information, it's about creating inclusion. Now, if you're somebody who doesn't do that all the time, the first time you do it, it might catch your team off guard and be surprising, but keep doing that. And they'll come to the meeting going, oh, I'm gonna be asked my opinion. I'm gonna share this opinion today. They'll come prepared. If you don't do that currently, they won't come with that thought in mind and it might fall a bit light the first time you do it, but keep doing it. And you'll suddenly have a really collaborative, open environment. You'll have a team that's closer, and that could be a project team, a team you manage, a sales team. You want everyone to feel included and engaged, and they will come to those meetings and be the best person they can be. And that's really, really powerful. Now let's take this even more personal for a minute. Relationships, friendships, family. Because great questions don't just live in boardrooms, they live at dinner tables, in text threads or WhatsApps, on long walks with the people that we love. Here's a fun one to try. What's something you've been thinking about a lot lately, but you haven't said out loud? Or as I mentioned earlier, next time someone tells you they've had a rough day, instead of jumping in with advice, just ask, what part of today hit you the hardest? Suddenly you're not fixing it. You're just connecting with them and listening and giving them a platform. And that's huge. It's even more important than fixing it. If you dive in with trying to fix it, well, what you should say to Trevor is this. It's just going to probably annoy them, make them switch off and not share with you in the future. So for your personal relationships, ask more questions. Just be there to absorb and share and understand. And if you're presenting on stage or in a presentation, asking questions is a power move. It might sound strange. How do you ask questions when no one's speaking back? Ask rhetorical questions or reflective questions. Get people thinking, engaging. For example, have you ever been in a situation where you've had all the data, but none of the clarity? Most people will be sat there going, oh, yes. Now they're relating to you, they're listening to you, they're engaging to you. Even though all you've done is ask a question, you haven't exhibited any wisdom, but you're asking a question they can all relate to. You don't even need to answer. You're just engaging their imagination. You're pulling them into your story. So whether you're negotiating a deal, leading a team, growing a friendship, or standing on a stage, questions are the gateway. They create dialogue, they foster trust, and maybe most importantly, they show people, hey, I'm not just here to talk, I'm here to understand.
Level up your presentation game with Communication Studio.
So we've covered the power of questions and how they can transform conversations. But just like any powerful tool, if used carelessly, they can backfire. Let's talk about the common mistakes people make when asking questions and how you can avoid them. And we'll call these the three pitfalls. Pitfall number one, asking yes or no questions when more is needed. So this is an easy trap to fall into. Now, these aren't bad in themselves if you ask a yes, no question, but if you're trying to learn, connect, explore, or expand, they just won't get you very far. For example, did you like the presentation? You're probably gonna get back, yeah, it was really good. Done, end of conversation. Instead, you could try, what stood out to you in the presentation? That shifts the spotlight to their perspective and gives them space to open up. Pitfall two, interrupting answers with more questions. Have you ever asked a question and then jumped in before the person finished answering? We've all done it, especially when we're excited or curious. But here's the thing, great questioning isn't just about what you ask, it's about how you listen. Silence is not a gap to fill, it's a signal. It might mean they're thinking, processing, or about to say something meaningful, or it's give the time for them to feel confident enough to do that. So try this. After asking a question, count to three in your head before speaking again. That small pause can open the door to much deeper answers. It can also have the added benefit of making sure people are paying attention as well. And pitfall number three, stacking too many questions at once. There can be a situation where you ask too many questions. So what if you say, what do you think about the strategy? And do you think the timeline is realistic? And how would you handle the budget if it changes? That's not a question, that's an avalanche. The result, people get overwhelmed, they latch onto one part of the question, often the last part, or they freeze up or they don't answer at all, or they miss a middle core question. And now you think, can I ask it again? Or have I lost my chance? The fix, ask one question at a time. Take your time and listen, go deeper if needed, and think of it like, you know, peeling an onion and doing it layer by layer. And make notes. Have your questions prepared or note them down if you think about them on the fly so you don't forget them. That way you can do them one at a time and take your time. All right, let's recap the three big pitfalls to avoid. Don't settle for a yes-no question when a deeper question will do. Don't interrupt, give your question the space to breathe. Give that pause. And don't stack your questions. Keep it simple and intentional. Great communicators don't just ask questions, they create space for answers. And that's what turns an exchange into a real connection. So in your next conversation, whether it's with a colleague, a friend, or client, ask three thoughtful, open-ended questions. Then observe the difference. Notice how the tone shifts. Watch how people open up. You can even reflect afterwards. What question sparks the best insight? Did you listen fully, or were you planning, you know, your next question, your next line? Were you ready to jump in? Did you actually listen, and were you aware of what they asked? So as I said at the beginning, the secret weapon of great communication is not about what you say, it's about the questions that you ask. We've explored how asking the right questions can unlock trust, steer conversations, and spark insight, whether you're in a meeting, on a date, or presenting on stage. And from there, I've been Mike Knott. This has been Communication Studio. Listen again, listen back to our other episodes, and check us out online at communicationstudio.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to Communication Studio. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave us a review. Join us next time as we unlock more secrets to presenting with confidence. Communication Studio, your guide to presentation success.